Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Today again, we'll continue what we have been discussing about breaking the curses in your life. Among the things that we have learned in the course of these discussions are the fact that curses are real, spiritual things actually control the physical. If a man is blessed, he will appear as if he's a lucky person. And if a man is not blessed, he will appear as if he's unlucky. Now, Solomon said that is the reason why if you look under the sun, you will discover that the race is not necessarily to the man that is fast. The man who is strong will not necessarily always win the battle, because there are events, that's what he was saying, there are events that override a man's abilities. There are events that override his own plans and purposes. When those events work in his favor, the man will appear to be lucky. I heard a story once about Napoleon, the great emperor of France. I heard then when he wanted to choose generals for his battles, he would say, make sure the man that has been picked is a lucky man. Because as a great man, he had noticed that skill was not all there was to it. But that sometimes a man that has skills, things will just go absolutely wrong for him. And that's what we call a curse or a blessing. That is, when a man is blessed, things will tend to go well for him. And if the man is cursed, things will tend to go wrongly for him. And we said these things are real and we have to learn how to handle them. One of the things we learned in our previous discussion is that of generational curses. And we have established the fact that generational curses are broken, one, by the power of the blood of Jesus. And number two, when a man does not do the works that brings forth the curses upon people, that is the works that the people did at the beginning that brought the curse upon them, if a man doesn't do it, he is immune from those curses. An example we gave was the issue of the descendants of Gehazi. That the descendants of Gehazi were baptized with the leprosy of Naaman because of the covetousness and the lying spirit that was inside Gehazi. And we said that descendants are not just those who are naturally born, but those who do the works of Gehazi. So if any man is an obtainer by false pretenses, then he has become a descendant of Gehazi, and the leprosy of Naaman is his portion. Last time we explained in details about the matter again of seed time and harvest. We said that there are seasons in life. If you are a young man, you are in a season of life. And that the days of young manhood, we read from the book of Ecclesiastes, are the days in which a man lays a solid foundation for his future. That the days of childhood, you are a reflection of your society. But that when you get into the days of young manhood, which also applies to women, not just to men alone, that it's a particular season in life in which you are supposed to do things that will decide whether your tomorrow will be blessed or your tomorrow will be cursed. We said the most important causes for curses are the works that a man does. They are the works that a woman does. That these works are most important, they are most significant when you do them during the days of young manhood. That it is that time that you sow seeds for your future. And that when these things begin to germinate in the future, when you step into your future, you either discover that blessings are flowing towards you, in which case you appear very lucky, or blessings are flowing away from you, in which case you appear unlucky. So the man will begin to wonder, the woman will begin to wonder, what is wrong with me? It appears like I am cursed. The reality is that there is a spiritual force that is working against the progress of that person that was released, ignited, or initiated during the days of young manhood. So we say it's very important if you're a young man, if you're a young woman, the things that you are doing now, don't think that you can just get away with them once you've enjoyed yourself. There was something somebody told me once about young women. A lot of young women believe that as a young girl, there's time to run wild, you know, play, party, have fun, do everything you want to do. And at a point in time, you go to church, settle down, pretend to be born again so that you can get a good husband. Listen to me, you have sowed a seed for your future. It will definitely germinate. It does not just die away like that. The Bible says, behold, God is not mocked. You cannot make a mockery of God. Whatever a man and a woman sows, that shall he also reap. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't think that you are fooling everybody. This is the conclusion of everything. Fear God and obey his commandments. That this applies to every person. God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it is good or it is evil. Don't ever think that whether people find you out or not is the issue. The issue is that God knows what you are doing, and he will reward your tomorrow according to the works of your today. That when you step into tomorrow, you will either be blessed or you will be cursed, depending on what you did in your days of young manhood. I'm emphasizing that in the matter of breaking the curses in life, so that people will understand that you can break curses ahead of time. I remember that this man, Rod Parsley, a great American preacher, was preaching some time ago, and titled his message, "You Can Miss That Mess." That you see, you don't have to get into a mess and God delivers you. That is possible, but there's a better way to do it. You can miss the mess. That is, you can prepare things in a way that with that mess will not come upon you at all. And that's what we're talking about, breaking the curses of life. I am explaining that you can miss that curse. Are you getting my point? It does not have to come first and then you break it. Now, from next week, I'm going to be talking about building a great future today. That is, you build your tomorrow today. We'll start discussing that from next week. But let's conclude what we've been saying about this issue of curses today. Don't ever forget that we said that the blood of Jesus is God's antidote for the sins committed before you were born by your ancestors, thereby delivering you from the curses of the ancestors, or from the one that you did during the days of ignorance, when you had not heard this truth, when people told you that you can play and get away with it, when people told you you can steal and there will be no repercussion. Now that you have heard the truth, that whatsoever a man sows, that he shall also reap, we emphasize that it is possible, when you have been warned about judgment, to do works that will prevent judgment from coming. Now listen to this. I am not saying that you will wait for the time of judgment and then change your ways. I'm saying now that you are being warned about impending judgment, then it is the right time to amend your ways ahead of time. That if you break away from doing iniquity, if you break away from doing what is wrong, you will be delivered if you cry to God for deliverance. But those things that you have done, there are seeds that have been sown and something has to be done about them. What was done about them was that Jesus died and he shed his blood so that you might be free. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, something has been done to kill those seeds that you sowed in the times that you did not have understanding. But now understanding has come, and God is commanding that you must repent so that your tomorrow will not be bleak. I hope you understand that. Now, what I want to end this series with is discussing the most important cause for curses. Remember, we said that every curse must have a cause. That's why we have examined so many of those things that might lead to curses. Now, today I want to examine the most important, in my opinion, of all the causes of curses in the lives of people. Now, this one, remember I said before, the most important source of curses is from you. It is not the witch in the village. It is not your wife's mother. It is not your uncle that's in a cult. No, the most important witch or wizard arrayed against you is yourself. And if you do not fight yourself, you will never experience a curse. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So what I want to explain today, we'll take our text from the book of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Solomon was speaking there. He said, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." If you read James chapter 3, James described this tongue also. He said that if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. He said a tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. That is, it has accomplished great things and it can show them off in boasting. He said, "How great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire." A tongue, he said, is set amongst our members, but it can defile the entire body. What James was saying here, concurring with the words of Solomon from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, is that the direction that your life will take is determined by how your tongue behaves. Now, this is something that's very important. Now, if you read verse 4 of that James chapter 3, he said that if you look at sheep, now sheep was what they knew then, but we can look today and describe great trucks. Now, I'm paraphrasing because James talked about strong winds that drive sheep. Now, let's talk about things that we can relate with. We have great trucks, great vehicles, great earth-moving equipment that are driven by great diesel engines. But the direction is never decided by the engine. The direction is never decided by the size of the vehicle. The direction is decided by the turning of the steering. Compared to the whole vehicle, the steering is very small, but whichever direction that steering turns, that is what will decide the direction that the whole vehicle goes to. And that's what James was saying, that is the driver turns the steering, and that is how the tongue is in your body. What am I saying? The way you speak about yourself is the most important determinant of whether the blessing will follow you or a curse will follow you. Now, I'm going to speak in details about this again when we are talking about building a great future for your life today. But what I want to bring out is one thing that is coming out of the fact that I see people every day cursing themselves every day. When you go, now they don't realize that's the interesting thing. It is what the Bible calls foolishness bound up in the heart of a child. You are doing things that will kill you, but you don't understand it. A lot of people who curse themselves with their tongue are actually not directly doing it. They are doing it indirectly. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. They will sit down and say this country is finished. Now, they did not realize that they are living in this country. They did not say that with a hope that their lives will never be better. But they just say simply, this country is finished. And by saying it, they have set the course of their life in the direction of destruction. Do you get my point? You see young men gather in school. Every day they wake up. They say they have never... Listen, that's why I'm not so inclined to enjoy the talk of critics who never see anything good in anything. To me, you are not helping people. You are not helping them. You are making them negative about life. Therefore, they will not see good in life. If you're always seeing negative things will come upon you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So people will sit down and gather and say, look, Nigeria is finished. They will compare Nigeria to every country. This country is like this. Look at Korea. Look at Ghana. Look at United States. In fact, we are finished. What they don't understand is that every day they are called a Nigerian, what they are saying is that they are finished. And the interesting part is that in the country in which they claim they are finished, people are making progress every day. Are you getting my point? Now, the same person who sat through his days in university saying that this country is hopeless, there are no jobs for graduates, comes out of the school looking for a job. How does he expect to get one? James said, you already set the direction of your life by the way you use your tongue. You have said the country is finished, therefore the country for you is finished. You will never see progress or prosperity inside it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now listen to this. This is very important. For example, I talk about the issue of marriage again and again to give this as examples. There are young men, every time they speak, they have nothing good to say about women. They tell that women can never be trusted. Women are useless. All these girls are useless. And they expect to marry. And they, after saying this again and again and again and again and again, then one day they get up and say, yes, it is time to marry. What they will not remember is that long before now, they said women are useless. Long before now, they said girls cannot be trusted. So what will happen to them is that the first girl they get engaged to will defraud them. The next one they get engaged to will be a two-timer. The next one they try to talk to will be a dishonest person. At the end of the day, they will say, I said it. And God will say, yes, you said it. That it happened first in their hearts before it became manifested on the surface. So they will now again go further to reinforce what they have always believed, that women are useless. And they continue to say it, women are useless. And they never get a good wife, no matter how hard they try. Why? Because their tongue has told their members. And you know, let me tell you something about life. I've said this again and again. Please believe it if you've been hearing me say it. Spiritual things are real. Your desires are not the only things that bring things towards you. I'm sure you've heard about aura before. Now, those things, they're actually true. People have auras about them. There are people you see, everybody seems to like them. There is something around them that's just likable, yet nobody can put a finger on it. There are other people that it appears as if nobody wants to do them a favor, yet they don't seem to have done anything wrong. The reason is because there is an invisible force which they have generated. It is radiating from their spirits and it's either repelling good away from them or drawing good towards them. Are you getting my point? So a man who has been speaking negatively about women all his life, he doesn't understand it. He has generated a force around him that attracts negative women only. I've sat with men before. By the time they finish telling you about how useless women are, you realize, it appears like, that there is no hope for a man to get a good wife. But I can tell you boldly, I have a very good wife. And I heard this story long before I ever met my wife. But I said that what matters is that my life is pleasing to God. That Solomon said, I have discovered more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, whose hands are chains. He said, one who is pleasing to God will escape from her, but the sinner will be captured by her. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26.
You know, the Bible says that houses and riches, Solomon was also speaking, are from the fathers, but the prudent wife is from the Lord. I told them boldly that amidst a million Jezebels, I will find the good woman that God has appointed for me. It was a word that never wavered in my mouth. I said, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Listen, it is with your mouth you will decide whether you will be cursed tomorrow or you will not be cursed. Are you getting my point? I've heard people say that, you can't invest in Nigeria. Nothing good ever comes out of it. And the same man will go take his money when companies are issuing shares and he will try to buy shares. What he doesn't understand is that ahead of time, he has said, you can never invest in Nigeria because nothing good will come out of it. So unconsciously, without realizing it, the day the good shares are being issued, he will miss it. The day the bad ones are being issued, that's the one he will rush in to buy. And then things will go wrong. The company will collapse. He will lose all his money. Then he will go around and say, I said it. And God will say, yes, you said it. But what again, he doesn't understand that it happened because he said it. Are you getting my point? That is why two people will be in the same place and have two different stories to tell. Are you following what I'm trying to say? To confirm what I'm saying, if you remember the story at Kadesh Barnea, when Moses sent the spies out into the promised land to go and spy out the land in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14, there was something that happened there. When the people came out, everybody had a word to speak. There were 12 spies. 10 of them agreed in their words that the land, listen to this, was a land that was a dangerous land, though it had a lot of fruit. They came back and said, apart from that, the people are large. We can't even fight them. But two people went in amongst the 12, Joshua and Caleb. They had different words to speak. They said, yes, there are giants in the land, but we also noticed the abundant prosperity in the land. And they now said, if God is with us, those great people, their defenses have departed away from them, and we will take the land, and the land will not punish us. Why? Because God is with us. Now let me tell you something. The two groups of people had heard the same words from the mouth of Moses. The two groups of people, the 10 spies and the 2 spies, they had heard God give them promises. All of them together went into that promised land. They saw the same things. They saw the same fruits. They saw the same problem. They saw the same giants. Yet, two people said, we can do it. Listen to this. God now said, in verse 28 of Numbers chapter 14, God said, as I live, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will surely do to you. That is, it is not the circumstance that will do it to them. You have to get this point. It wasn't the giants that will kill them. It was their mouth that killed them. Are you getting my point? So you see that people who say that I can never prosper in a country like this. It is not the country that will cause them not to prosper. It is their mouth that will cause them not to prosper. I have seen people who are complainers, and you will notice they are the type that when you give them a cup of water, they will always see it as half empty. But a positive-minded person sees it as half full. A man will say, Nepa takes light too much in Nigeria. And that man say, at least I can afford the generator. You can always see a positive thing if you are looking for it. What you see in life is actually more in tune with how your eyes are shaped, not what is really happening around. Even scientists have found out, you tend to see what you are looking for. If you are not looking for something, you might not find it. Now, so how you speak is the main determinant of whether your tomorrow will be great or your tomorrow will not be great. I said earlier that we'll speak about this matter again. I won't finish with it today. But I'm trying to bring out the point that most people curse themselves every day. They do what I call giving excuses to Satan. Listen to this. This is how spiritual things work. Before God can bless you, he must find a reason. Before Satan can destroy you, he must find a reason. So what people do every day with their tongues is either to give God reasons to bless them or give Satan reasons to destroy them. And that is what I call excuses for Satan. What are excuses for Satan? Every explanation you give why it will not be well with you, they are called excuses for Satan. Listen to me. Your excuses might look good in your eyes. That they might look accurate, but they are the things that Satan needs to bring out results of negative things inside your life. That's what I'm trying to say. That is, if you want to break the curse in your life, you have to first bridle your tongue. That's what James was telling us. You have to learn not to speak negative things. When you hear that, armed robbers invaded this place and they killed 10 people. You said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? 1,000 may fall by my side, 10,000 at my right hand, and none shall come near me. He said, the angel of the Lord encamp round them that fear him and deliver them. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround his people. That is my response to every negative situation. Listen, that's the way life is. Your attitude in life will dictate your response towards events when you see them. Do you get my point? They say, oh, bird flu. I told people it is called bird flu, not human flu. Therefore, I will continue to eat chicken. It's an attitude. He said, are you not deceiving yourself? Listen, life is controlled by the tongue. He said, death and life are in the power of the tongue. It is as you say that God will do to you. There was a time there was meningitis. People said that meningitis is killing people. Let us start running. I said, listen to me. When meningitis hears my name, he should run. I shouldn't run because of meningitis. I am a child of God. I am a man of God. I will not die young. The life expectancy in Nigeria is only 46 years of age. I said, that is their problem. I will live to be 100 years old. It's my tongue. God says, as I hear you say in my ears, that's what I will do to you. You see people, they'll get up. Ah, Nigeria is bad. But America is good. When they go to America, they would rather sweep gutters in America than be a professional in Nigeria. Their tongue leads them to captivity. Meanwhile, when they are saying Nigeria is bad, people are getting up and making progress every day. That's another thing. They tell you that in Nigeria, you can never make money without stealing from government. Big lie. People are making money every day, legitimately and pleasing God, and they are not stealing from anybody, whether from the government or their neighbors or from their customers in the market. They are waxing stronger and stronger, but the other people keep on giving Satan excuses to hold them in bondage. So they wake up in the morning, say, I can never do well. They don't say it directly, but they say it indirectly. The country is bad. What they have said is that I can never do well. And the markets are useless. What they are saying is that I can never do well. Yet they wonder why curses don't leave them alone. Then they will go to one funny native doctor or to one confused pastor who will start praying and say, it is the one witch that is after them. I have told you again and again, there is no witch after you. You are the witch in your life. Your tongue is the magic wand of the witch that is worrying you. If Satan is afflicting you, let me tell you what he's doing. He's making you talk nonsense. What he does is to change your opinion about issues. It swerves your attitude around. You become tossed to and fro. The Bible says, like every wind of doctrine, you can no longer receive anything good from the hand of the Lord. I have said, God is my light and my salvation. The God of heaven is the one that blesses me. He said, I have been blessed with all kinds of spiritual blessings. That is, no matter where I am not controlled by what is happening around. I am controlled by the blessing of God. And I cooperate with God with my tongue. Are you getting my point? I don't speak negatively about my life. You never hear me say nonsense. There are parents who have ensured that their children will never do well. I pray that those children will receive the light of God so that they can be delivered. How do they do it? It is normal for a small child to make a mistake. But the father says, this boy, you will never do well. Why? Because he made a mistake. No matter how terribly my children do, one thing they never hear from my mouth is that you're a bad boy. No. What do I tell him? I say, come here. Is that a Jesus boy behavior? You say no. Are you going to do that again? He say no. I say yes, you will not do it again because you are a child of God. Because you are a blessing to your generation. Because you are a man that God is making. Good only will come from your hands. You will be the head alone and not the tail. No matter how badly he does, that is the only thing he gets the privilege of hearing. If he does wrongly, I bring out the cane. The Bible says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. A child that does not behave foolishly has never been born. Therefore, I will not dictate his future by speaking to confirm the foolishness in his heart. I take a rod and drive the foolishness away and prophesy greatness for his future. Listen, he will find intelligence natural. He will find physics, maths, history, agriculture, geography very simple because I have told him ahead of time it is simple. Listen, these are spiritual forces. One of the things you should never let anybody tell you, including a doctor, is that you will die. Listen, if you believe you will die, you will die. A friend of mine is a medical doctor, a specialist. One day he told me, he said, Banky, I killed somebody. I knew there must be something to what he's saying. He said, I had a patient. He walked into my clinic. He's been feeling a bit unwell.
So I examined him and we did some tests. At the end of the day, I told him he had cancer of the liver and that he should put his house in order because he will die and not live. You know, like Hezekiah was told. Why did he tell me he killed somebody? He said, the first time the man walked into his clinic, the man wasn't too sick. He just came because he wasn't feeling too well. The following week, he saw the man. After I gave him the result of his tests, the man had become seriously sick. Suddenly, this man was jaundiced. He had lost weight. A week after that, the man was dead. He said he realized something, that this man died because he told him he was going to die. And the man believed it. Are you getting my point? Let's say one day I was bending over a stick playing with somebody and somebody turned to me and said, hey, Doc has 60. I strengthened my back, pointed my finger at the person. I said, he satisfies my mouth with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I will never bend. Listen, I will never cooperate with Satan to destroy my life. You can say, no business ever works in this country. You never hear from my mouth. If one business fails, it just means that one is not working. We go to another one. The famous example we all know is that of Thomas Edison, who for thousands of times he tried the electric bulb we all use today and it did not work. But finally the thing worked. Somebody came, he said, how come you persisted for these thousands of times when this thing did not work? He said, we're not persisting. We're just discovering the thousands of ways by which it will not work. Positive attitude. The same man, they say his factory was burnt to the ground one day. And people say, how shall we do now? The man smiled and said, all our mistakes of the past have been burnt away. Now we can start afresh on a new slate. Positive attitude. Listen, if you don't give Satan an excuse, he cannot impose a curse upon your life. You use your tongue every day to give him reasons why you will not succeed. So it never goes well with you. He said, I said it. Yes, Satan said, you said it. God says, agreed, you said it. The angel said, yes, we heard it. That has happened according to what you said. It is not as if it just happened and it is confirming the thing you suspected. No, you directed it into happening. If your child is going out, tell the child, go out, come back home, it will be well with you. Don't scare the child. Tell him what to do and what not to do. But say, the Lord is watching over you. He said, my God never sleeps nor slumbers. He said, the mountains might move. The hills might quake. He said, but the steadfastness of my God can never be shaken. He is my shield at all times. Are you getting my point? Remember, I was saying something about excuses for Satan. Stop giving Satan an excuse to hold you in bondage, giving an explanation for all your problems. He said, you know, I always fall sick in January. Who said that sickness is your portion? And of course, Satan is very happy. Every December, he starts cooking up something that he will put on you on January 1st. It is to you according to those words that you speak. The most important way I'm discussing today to break the curses in your life is to bridle your tongue. Stop giving you up the place where you have come from as the reason why you will never prosper. There are people who say that, no, I can never do well. You know, I didn't go to university. So they thought their destinies had been cut off. Not realizing that going through university is just one of those ways into greatness. There are several other ways. Most people who are graduates, who have first classes and second class uppers, work for men who never smelt the four walls of a university. Listen, I will never use my mouth to give Satan an excuse in my life. Are you getting my point? You say, which is the one pursuing you? I said, the witch that wants to die young should try me. The witch that is tired of witchcraft should afflict me. Then he will understand that power really passes power. I've said it. 100 million people who are angry with me are just frustrating themselves. I am a blessed man by God. That is what I believe. And that is what I always speak. With that, I break the curses in my life every day. I hope you understand that point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.